This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
They'd benefit from it. You apply your junior year and you go through the program your senior year, a great leg up for your next year of freshman college. Until next week, we want to thank you all for being part of this week's wonderful dialogue and interchange. And until then, as always, peace, power, and love.
The hearts and minds of the world go out to those impacted by the devastation in Haiti. KPFT, your community radio station, encourages you to do what you can to support efforts to help others in the wake of this tragedy. Around the world, people like you are lending assistance. For example, the multi-ethnic community center located at 9819 Bissonnette between Highway 59 and the Beltway in southwest Houston is collecting items for immediate needs in Haiti, including non-perishable food, bottled water, flashlights, batteries, sleeping bags, tents, generators, and especially right now, money. Go by 9819 Bissonnette or call them at 713-271-8988, 713-271-8988. Keep listening to KPFT to learn more about aid organizations and how you can support them and the radio station that provides you up-to-the-minute coverage. And thank you for listening to KPFT Houston.
How would you like to help KPFT in your pajamas? I'm Ernesto Aguilar, KPFT's program director, and we're looking for people who listen to this station who want to help make our programs better. Just a few moments each month, you can do program evaluations. They're simple, and you can do them right from home. Fuzzy slippers are optional. Interested? Then get in touch. You can call me at 713-526-4000, extension 308. You can also email me at pd@kpft.org. That's PD as in program director at kpft.org. If you're a social media sort, I'm reachable on Facebook as Ernesto Aguilar, as well as Ernesto Media on Twitter. Where else can you lend a big hand and not even have to leave the house or even get dressed up? Program evaluations for KPFT are fun and easy, so help us out today. This is KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Belinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
Summer Iman.
And Glenn Holt. And on tonight's show, it's the fourth Monday of the month, and that means J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage is featured in our second hour. But first, Out and Equal Houston. Their mission is to provide programs which empower organizations to provide inclusive work environments for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people. Co-chairs Gemma Burns and Mike Craig will join us to discuss what's happening in the Houston GLBT professional environment. Then we have News Wrap from This Way Out, and among other things, gay marriage is prominent in the news again this week. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has made a reference to California's Proposition 8 in his concurring opinion with a recent ruling which overturned limits on corporate spending in political campaigns, and the State Senate of Hawaii has approved an everything-but-the-word civil unions bill. That's followed by feature segments from This Way Out. Tonight, a BBC interview where Sir Ian McKellen laments the failure of the professional sports world to keep up with Western society's growing acceptance of homosexuality. And that's followed by Audiophile. Tonight on Queer Voices.
Thank you. That was great.
I think we have some local news we should discuss, though.
Yes. There was an event tonight.
Actually, there were two events, I hear.
Yes, there were two events. So you know how it is when you're organizing something and you put a freeway in between?
Yes. Well, I went to the event on the west side of Richmond and Garrett, where there was a big crowd and there was a stage and there was speakers.
And but you could almost hear them.
You could. Yes.
I understand
there,
that
there was a generator, too.
The generator was so loud you couldn't hear the people.
But we had candles. Did you have candles?
We had candles.
Okay.
We were on the east side of the spur.
And in your defense, that's where it actually happened, I understand.
That's exactly where it was. We were standing within 50 feet of where they actually found the body. And we were there with Wanda Adams and City Council Member Wanda Adams, City Council Member Clarence Bradford, as well as Steve Kirkland, Judge Steve Kirkland.
In case our listeners may not know what happened and what this was for, what was this a memorial for?
Well, this was for a transgender woman who was murdered just a week ago. And at the time of the murder, and they discovered the body, she had put up a fight, but she was murdered. And the media, what brings so much attention to it, was the media, the local media who covered it, did a very poor job of using the correct pronouns, not following the guidelines that have been laid out and agreed to by AP and another, and CNN and a lot of the other major organizations, news organizations. And it has just been forgotten. The police didn't have any information. They're searching for information. But what happened was is that it infuriated a lot of members of the GLBT community, as well as the citizenry at large, concerning the coverage and the treatment of this human being, citizen of the United States, citizen of Houston, who was brutally murdered.
And I think we should add that it was in daylight.
Yes.
On a major thoroughfare.
Yes, in an area, we believe, in a home, an area where a lot of homeless people hang out, and that we know for sure that someone probably saw something, heard something, whatever, but there's a code of silence within the homeless community that no one's coming forward.
Well, if you were someone who saw something or heard something, we ask that you call Crime Stoppers at 713-222-8477.
And you can remain anonymous. They'll give you a number instead of using your name. And should this person get arrested, there's a reward, and you could become not homeless.
But I think, you know, to celebrate the high of Anise winning, and then to have this happen a few weeks later, or a month later, is
well, not
devastating.
Even a month, just a matter of weeks after it happened. It was a sad, tragic. It was surreal. But it does bring a spotlight to the fact that this goes on. There are six other transgender murders here in Houston that haven't been solved, that have happened over the last years.
Absolutely. And her name was Myra. How do you pronounce the last name? I don't want to mispronounce it.
Ekow.
Myra Ekow.
And it was just, it's a shame. She was just an individual trying to get by in life like we all are. She was doing the best she could, just as we do every day, and no one deserves to be murdered.
And I have to say that I enjoyed our memorial. We had a moment of silence for her, then we had a moment of silence for those who had passed in Houston, the Houston area.
We did the same thing.
And then we had a moment of noise. In voice of outrage for the lack of attention to this and the lack of, you know.
Didn't do the noise.
Did you hear it on the other side?
No, but we did have the political, and no, we didn't. With all the traffic on that spur, you can't hear anything.
I see. Well, y'all had the political leaders, I guess.
Well, and they spoke, both Wanda and Clarence and Bradford and Steve Kirkland all said something, and we had several other people who said some things, and we had a moment of silence and a prayer for not only Myra, but all the other people who have been brutally murdered from the GLBT community.
We'll take a moment of silence to remember her, and let's move on with our show.
Absolutely.
Who do we...
Yeah, I'm afraid. there's nothing wrong with you.
Adam Lambert and a song called What Do You Want From Me from the 2009 album For Your Entertainment. This is Queer Voices.
And this is Jennifer Renee.
And Brian Lavinka.
And we have with us here in the studio representatives from Out and Equal Houston. Now, Out and Equal is, their mission statement is to provide educational and networking programs which empower organizations, HR professionals, employee resource groups, and individual employees to create and maintain an inclusive work environment for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders. And who we have with us is Gemma Burns, who is co-chair, and Mike Craig, who's also co-chair of the organization. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you
for having us. Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about the work. I mean, I read the mission statement, which is the way it says it, but there's always so much more to it than just that. So share with us what's going on with the organization now.
Well, we're the newest regional affiliate for the national Out and Equal organization, which is an organization that's really dedicated to bringing workplace equality into actuality in companies large and small and government agencies around the country and around the world, actually. As a Houston regional affiliate, what we want to do is bring that national mission down to earth here in Houston and really work with companies large and small here in the Houston area to create that inclusive workplace for GLBT people. And so we just started up this last fall and got blessed by the national organization. And so we're the 19th out of, or the 18th or 19th out of the total. And so we're launching our programs this year to basically help businesses help themselves to become more inclusive of LGBT people.
Now, I know that other organizations do this. HRC has their business programs and all. But how is this different from what they're doing in their work?
That's a very good question. And I think I would characterize it by saying that our emphasis is really very specifically targeting workplace equality. Unlike an organization like HRC, which has a political arm and has an interest in workplace equality, with a principal focus probably on the Corporate Equality Index system by which businesses can be ranked and rated relative to their workplace, relative to the availability of an inclusive work environment. So we're looking at developing programming that enables companies to develop policies, learning opportunities, resources, training that will help them develop in a way that will make them suitable for earning a high ranking on the Corporate Equality Index.
Well, one of the things I was noticing that Chevron is one of the leading names, and I know that they've been very important in GLBT equality, especially T equality in the workplace, which I honor them for that. But what is it? Now, these are large corporations, and mm-hmm. you mentioned in just a moment ago, we're talking about large and small. So what's considered the smaller ones? Because there may be businesses out in the community that's listening to this program now that say, well, we're too small for that sort of, you know, training or information.
Well, and that's really the key. When you have large companies like Chevron, which Jem and I both work for, they often have those resources available in-house, whereas you might have a small business that may be 50 people that doesn't necessarily have the kind of in-depth experience dealing with transgender issues. They don't necessarily understand the whole situation or what needs to be done in their workplace. We can come in and help them because we can bring that large corporation experience, plus a wealth of other people in our organization can come and talk them through that. And so we're looking at this not just from a large corporation perspective, but you know, just about any workplace, and that includes Anise. If you want to have us come in and help you with the city of Houston, we can do that as well.
Well, let me ask this question. Okay, I'm a small company out there, small employees. I don't have that number of employees, but I want to be inclusive. I want to make sure that the environment that I have in my business is inclusive and is diverse in its training. And there may be some people. How do they get in touch with you?
They can reach us through the Out and Equal website, which is www.outandequal.org, and click on the regional affiliate Houston, and you can email us through that particular website. And we'll get back with you right away. And that's also how you can actually join as a member of the organization.
Now, do companies join or individuals join? How does that operate?
Currently, our members represent numerous companies, and the membership is currently on an individual basis. We also have a Facebook page for those of you who are huge fans of Facebook.
Queer Voices is on Facebook, too.
Absolutely.
Cross-pollinate.
Yes, absolutely. So is it on Facebook, just Out and Equal?
Out and Equal Houston.
Okay.
Yeah. What if I'm an employee at a company and I'm not sure there's a program at my company? A GLBT program, and I go to Out and Equal. I mean, what resources are there for me? And say I out myself and there's no support. What can I do with Out and Equal?
Well, with Out and Equal, you can almost consider Out and Equal Houston, you can almost consider us your extended employee resource group if you don't have one in your workplace. And so you'll have natural networking capabilities through our social networking events like our upcoming happy hour on Thursday at Cafe Adobe.
Ooh, good plug.
Yes, have a margarita. But also through some of the other programming. So you'll be able to build your networking up there. We do also have some resources both through the national office and also just the expertise that we have in-house for how you start up an employee resource group or how you engage with management and things like this. And it's sometimes easier to do that when you can say, well, over at Chevron, they're doing this, or over at Shell, they're doing this, or at MD Anderson, this is their program.
And so it's so scary to even think of starting a group. I think At my company.
You might actually find out that there are more people in your company than you may know about.
And see, that's what, you know, I guess Out and Equal will help, is doing the networking.
Well, we all know about engineers.
Well,
absolutely.
Yes.
It's very funny, though. You know, we talk about Chevron and, you know, rah-rah Chevron like that. But we also have membership from ExxonMobil, not a place that you would think would be there, and several other companies in the Houston area where the atmosphere for GLBT people may not be where they want it to be, but certainly they're stepping out and looking for ways to bring that kind of knowledge back into their particular company.
And Out and Equal, both on a national basis and locally here in Houston, is playing a role in that, in helping to provide resources, networking opportunities for the people who are in companies where there is a less than proactive inclusive environment, to help them create one and understand how to build the business case that helps a company like ExxonMobil understand that it's a cost of doing business in our community to provide a work environment that is inclusive.
Well, I'm an employer out here. You know, maybe I own a small business. You know, Houston is the entrepreneurial capital of the world. Mm-hmm. Anybody that has the desire to start a business and build one can do it here in Houston. I'm out there, but I want to bring people in. I want to be able to get the best talent. And how do I start out? Would I call Out and Equal and say, look, I've got a startup, or I've been in business a few years and I want to make sure that I have a welcoming environment? How would that happen? I would call you up and you would respond, and how would we go from there?
Well, we'd probably first sit down with you and talk about what is the actual situation on the ground with your particular company. There's some online resources that we already tap into about making an Out and Equal workplace, is what we call them. Do you have an ERG? You know, for some small companies, you don't need to have an ERG. There's only 20.
What is an ERG?
I'm sorry. Employee Resource Group.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you only have 20 employees, you don't need an employee resource group necessarily, but there are several other things that you can. Do you have the kind of policies in place that are supportive of LGBT people? Are there things that you are doing from a management style standpoint that maybe are suppressing people? And diversity works whether you're talking LGBT diversity or you're talking a diversity of ideas, a diversity of backgrounds. If you're managing diversity appropriately, you're going to get the innovation and the kind of entrepreneurship that you're going to need to really be successful in the Houston environment.
Now, we had mentioned that y'all are the Houston organization,
right?
Recently started. Talk about the national organization. How long has it been around?
Gosh, I'm not. It's
the national organization's actually been around for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Based in San Francisco.
Okay.
And started off as a way of, and actually the program is called Building Bridges, to teach straight managers what the issues are with regards to LGBT inclusion in the workplace. It's very much evolved over the last 20 years. There is a workplace summit that's done annually that is the preeminent workplace summit for issues around LGBT inclusion in the workplace, and there are roughly 2,000 to 2,500 people that gather from all around the country and even globally. This year's will be in Los Angeles. Last year's was in Orlando. But there are lots of resources that the national has available.
Do y'all have like a resource or a thought team to go to a corporation to kind of lay the groundwork and do the presentation?
That's a really good question. One of the things that we're looking at in terms of our programming strategy is developing a speakers bureau. So it's not exactly what you're talking about in terms of going out and promoting, but it does provide a set of resources that companies who are looking for people who can present on the topic of workplace equality to come and across a variety of subjects. So what is an ERG and how do I get one started? How do I develop a business case that substantiates why an ERG will be an important asset in my organization? What does it mean to provide or what are transgender guidelines and what are some of the behaviors that, and expectations that we should put on managers and other leaders in an organization and those kinds of things. So we are looking for ways to get ourselves inserted into companies in a way that we are present, known, and helping to educate.
And you have to make the business case to corporations. You know, how does it affect the bottom line and what could it possibly do? You know, as an employee, it seems very scary to go to a company and say, hey, you need these GLBT programs or else. But if you had like a speaker's bureau or someone
you can't go present. And say, I need a budget, I need funding because I think this is an important issue. You know, Chevron has a number of employee resource groups across a broad spectrum of demographics. The most successful group at Chevron has been, for the past several years, the Pride Network. And that's largely because we've done such a good job of building an effective business case that substantiates why we exist, why we're important to the company, and what impact we have on Chevron's ability to meet its overarching business objectives.
And the great thing about the Out and Equal Houston organization is the people that have come together to pull this organization off and get it launched are also people that have a rich history of being workshop presenters at the national conference and who have done this work within their own organizations, whether it's Accenture or Deloitte or
Price Waterhouse Coopers,
several large organizations and small that have that kind of capability. So we're going to be building that speaker's resource, but also being able to tap into the national organization's resources with regards to a training program that can be brought in at any time.
Well, I noticed on the list on your website, you go to the first page there and lists some of the people. We see Continental Airlines.
Absolutely.
And
sure.
Shell.
Marathon.
So it's a wide variety of people, organizations, businesses who are already engaged and have recognized the importance of Out and Equal, of the organizations, and I've forgotten the initials, so...
That's okay.
But the fact is that...
Energy.
Thank you. Yeah. Whisper in my ear. Yeah.
When I first saw it, I didn't know what an ERG was either.
ERG. So, yeah. For everybody,
it's a unit of work in the engineering.
ERG. But for that, you know, the importance that how this really, in these organizations, they already recognize the importance of it, but there are so many other organizations, those medium-sized companies, those smaller companies, like you were saying, with 20 people, mm-hmm. who don't see the bottom line in having that warm and welcoming environment to everyone. And I think, please correct me if I'm mistaken, is it's not about... making a group of people special within that organization. It's making everybody comfortable with their own job so they can be the most productive.
So that's exactly right.
Absolutely. If you cannot bring your whole self to work, and I don't care what diversity dimension we're talking about,
yeah.
if you cannot bring your whole self into the workplace, then you're not going to be as productive as somebody who can. And that's the thing that we have seen over and over and over again. The bottom line, I'm a more healthy, happy, and productive worker for whatever place of employment that I happen to be at. And given that, I'm putting more back into the bottom line of that company. And so that's the kind of message that we want to drive home, whether it's working for City Hall or working at the mom and pop grocery down the street, that sort of thing.
We've been speaking to Gemma Burns and Mike Craig of Out and Equal. Anything else you want our listeners to know about?
Well, visit our website, Facebook us, join our organization. There is no membership fee.
Good.
Unlike other organizations, there is no membership fee. And join us at Happy Hour on Thursday.
At Cafe Adobe, Westheimer, and South Shepherd. And we're also going to be holding a general meeting on February 6th. We're going to hold that at the Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church has been kind enough to give us space in their activities building. They're located at 2025 11th Street. That'll be at 10 a.m. on February 6th. It'll be a great opportunity for folks to come, learn more about Out and Equal Houston, and perhaps get involved in some of our programming activities.
Yeah. And now, what time is the Thursday event again?
The Thursday event starts at 5:30.
5:30.
Right after
okay,
work.
And your website again. Our web address.
www.outandequal.org. That's spelled out and equal, no ampersand in there. And click on Regional Affiliates in Houston, and you'll get to us.
And the Facebook is the same?
Out and Equal,
out and Equal Houston.
Well, we've been here with Mike Craig and Gemma Burns.
Thank you.
Yes. And without an equal. And we want to thank y'all very much for coming and visiting with us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anytime.
This is Queer Voices.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 23rd, 2010. The government of Uganda appears to be feeling the heat of international condemnation over its proposed Kill the Gays legislation, despite several statements by its leaders to the contrary. In addition to the death penalty for certain cases of consensual adult gay sex, the measure imposes a life sentence in the African nation for others convicted of that crime. It also punishes, with lengthy jail terms, anyone who promotes gay rights or who fails to report a suspected gay person to the authorities. Its sponsor, MP David Bahati, adamantly asserted earlier this month that he would never accept changes to the bill. But he reversed himself this week. Bahati told Uganda's Daily Monitor newspaper that he might accept amendments to the bill without putting the values of the country at risk. Bahati attended a meeting with the cabinet on the bill this week, but said he could not discuss what happened. Information Minister Kabakumba Masiko told the newspaper that because it is a private member's bill and a property of Parliament, the process of legislation must continue. But the government will suggest amendments. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has already suggested that the harshest elements of the bill should be discarded, but it's believed he was only referring to the death penalty provision. Visits by U.S. evangelicals and so-called change therapists have been blamed for inflaming the homophobia that already permeates Ugandan society. Bahati and Museveni have each been described as affiliates of The Family, a secretive right-wing self-described Christian group based in Washington, D.C., with global political ties. It sponsors an annual national prayer breakfast in the U.S. Capitol. Both Bahati and Museveni had been invited to attend the event on February 4th, but according to reports this week, Bahati's invitation has been withdrawn. It's not clear at this time if Museveni will attend.
Following the U.S. Martin Luther King Jr. Day holiday, the federal trial challenging the constitutionality of California's Proposition 8, known as Perry v. Schwarzenegger, moved into its second week on January 19th in a San Francisco courtroom. High-profile attorneys Theodore Olson and David Boies are representing the plaintiffs, a gay couple and a lesbian couple who were denied marriage licenses in the state. Jerry Sanders, the Republican mayor of San Diego, was first to take the witness stand on day six. He had previously supported civil unions only. But in 2008, Sanders came out for full marriage equality during an emotional speech in support of his lesbian daughter. His testimony was again emotional at times this week as he said, "My daughter deserves the same opportunity to be married in front of friends, family, and co-workers." The former police chief cited examples of hate crimes against LGBT people and of police officers afraid to acknowledge their sexual orientation. "If government tolerates discrimination against anyone," he said, "it is very easy for citizens to do the same thing." Brian Rahm, the senior lawyer for the Alliance Defense Fund, which is defending Proposition 8, asked Sanders during his cross-examination if it wasn't possible to oppose marriage equality but not be motivated by animus towards gay people, which is one of the plaintiff arguments. Sanders said that good faith beliefs don't change the fact that they are positions grounded in prejudice. Testimony by an economics professor then centered on how civil unions don't adequately serve same-gender couples as an alternative to civil marriage. Citing a dubious study in the Netherlands, the defense asserted that opening marriage to gay and lesbian couples could have a negative effect on heterosexual marriage.
A 26-year-old victim of so-called change therapy testified the next day, and other evidence was introduced to demonstrate that sexual orientation is immutable. Expert witnesses for the plaintiffs then testified that, despite some incremental gains, lesbians and gay men don't have sufficient power to protect themselves in the American political system. Defense attorneys claimed during cross-examination that they do. Evidence was also introduced linking the Mormon and Roman Catholic churches to the campaign supporting Proposition 8, furthering plaintiff arguments that the measure was motivated by anti-gay prejudice.
A supporter of Proposition 8, whose name appeared alongside ballot arguments for the measure, testified for the plaintiffs as a hostile witness on the trial's eighth day. Footage from a deposition by Hawksheng William Tam, played during the first week of the trial, corroborated letters he had sent during the campaign to Chinese American churches claiming that opening civil marriage to same-gender couples would lead to legalizing having sex with children. He also wrote that other states would fall into Satan's hands if gays and lesbians weren't prevented from marrying in California. Tam had unsuccessfully tried to withdraw as a named defendant in the case. He testified that he believes that gays are 12 times more likely to be pedophiles, and that allowing same-gender couples to wed would lead to the lowering of the age of consent, enabling adults to have sex with young teenagers. He cited different literature I have read, but when pressed, said he couldn't remember the specific sources of those claims. He also tried to downplay his role in the Prop 8 campaign. Testimony by the 55-year-old immigrant from Hong Kong, who heads a Northern California-based group called the Traditional Family Coalition, was used by the plaintiffs to prove that Proposition 8's success was rooted in homophobia.
On January 21st, the trial's ninth day, expert testimony bolstered plaintiff claims that sexual orientation is unchangeable, to again support the argument that gays and lesbians deserve the same judicial protections as racial and ethnic minorities. The defense is expected to begin its arguments and present its witnesses in the coming week. Chief U.S. Judge Vaughn Walker, who's presiding over the non-jury trial, said he would delay closing arguments for 2 weeks after the defense rests its case so he can have time to review the testimony.
Another U.S. district judge this week denied the petition of ProtectMarriage.com, the sponsors of Proposition 8, for a restraining order against the Courage campaign for using a parody of the Pro Prop 8 campaign's logo in its online trial tracker federal court case coverage. The original logo featured figures of a man and a woman and two small children. The Courage campaign logo depicts two women and two small children, which ProtectMarriage.com claimed was substantially indistinguishable from theirs and therefore constituted copyright infringement. Judge Lawrence K. Carlton wrote that plaintiff is unlikely to overcome the conclusion that defendant's use of the mark is protected under the First Amendment, in that use is relevant to an expressive parody, and the use is not explicitly misleading.
Proposition 8 was also cited in a seemingly unrelated decision by the U.S. Supreme Court this week. In a 5-4 ruling, the High Court overturned limits on corporate spending in political campaigns. First Amendment rights were ostensibly at issue, and reaction to the court's decision was split even among free speech advocates. More than one progressive commentator warned that the Supreme Court had put democracy up for sale to the highest bidder. But in support of the majority decision, Justice Clarence Thomas cited arguments over the release of the names of those who donated to the campaign in support of Proposition 8. He wrote that such disclosure would chill protected speech because it would provide political opponents with the information needed to intimidate and retaliate against their foes.
Meanwhile, in an 18-7 vote, the Hawaii State Senate approved a bill on January 22nd to create civil unions for gay and lesbian couples. It would grant all of the state's marriage rights, except the name, to both same-gender couples and heterosexual couples who choose not to marry. Democrats also control the House, but party leaders said they may not bring up the bill unless they have enough support for a two-thirds vote to override a possible veto by Republican Governor Linda Lingle.
Elsewhere, Brazil's President Lula da Silva is facing strong opposition from the country's Roman Catholic Church over his government's national program on human rights, which would include the legalization of abortion and the expansion of rights for same-gender couples. According to an online report by Merco Press, which covers news from Latin America, the Brazilian Confederation of Bishops has vocally criticized the proposals, which include enacting same-gender civil marriage and granting adoption rights to lesbian and gay couples. Da Silva sent his human rights initiatives to Congress in late December. The bishops' opposition to the proposals was discussed at length during Sunday services in all of the country's Catholic churches in mid-January. Brazil's presidential election is scheduled for October. According to local political analysts, Da Silva launched the human rights initiatives to remind voters of his party's credentials as the main opponent to the former Brazilian military dictatorship.
And finally, under pressure from Portugal's Roman Catholic Church, the Lisbon City Council has withdrawn its invitation to same-gender couples to participate in its Santo Antonio weddings, which promote marriages in the capital by providing struggling couples with complete financial support for an official wedding. The online Portugal News reported that a council press release had originally announced that there were 5 available places for interested same-gender couples. The country's recently passed same-gender civil partnership law is expected to come into full force well before the Santo Antonio weddings, which will take place in June. But the council issued a statement this week that there will be no alterations to the current model of Santo Antonio weddings without the consent of the church. It is necessary to respect the religious beliefs associated to Santo Antonio, a saint of the Catholic Church and Roman Apostolic.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 23rd, 2010. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. You can read the text of this week's News Wrap online at www.thiswayout.org. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Rick Watts. This is Queer Voices.
The hearts and minds of the world go out to those impacted by the devastation in Haiti. KPFT, your community radio station, encourages you to do what you can to support efforts to help others in the wake of this tragedy. Around the world, people like you are lending assistance. For example, Partners in Health, an international organization providing health care for the poor, is seeking contributions for medical help for Haitians. Visit standwithhaiti.com to learn more about how you can help. Please stay tuned for ongoing coverage of the crisis in Haiti right here on 90.1 KPFT, including on the BBC News at 7 a.m., on Democracy Now! At 8, and Free Speech Radio News at 4 p.m. Keep listening to KPFT to learn more about aid organizations and how you can support them, and the radio station that provides you up-to-the-minute coverage. Keep the people of Haiti in your thoughts. Thank you for listening to KPFT Houston.
Pacifica is listener-sponsored radio.
What does that mean?
Listener sponsorship is an answer to the practical problem of getting better radio programs and keeping them.
A focus on advertisers or the mass audience accounts for the mediocrity of corporate radio.
When listeners support the radio they enjoy, their choices become better.
Listener sponsorship takes control of your radio out of the hands of companies and into the hands of the community.
But maintaining this sort of radio requires you.
Your pledge of support keeps KPFT on the air as a vital community resource.
So call our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314, to become a member today.
You can even go online at kpft.org to make your pledge.
Your pledge is essential to keep listener sponsorship viable for generations to come.
So call 713-526-4000 to support KPFT.
This is commercial-free listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
KPFT, Houston.
Maybe there never was a house of joy for sad Brittany, but a master of fine arts will overcome all odds later in the program. Sir Ian McKellen was perfectly in character this week, commenting on the recent comings out of three-time All-Ireland hurler Donald O'Gieu Cusack and Welsh rugby star Gareth Thomas. During a BBC radio interview, the actor activist lamented the failure of the professional sports world to keep up with Western society's growing acceptance of homosexuality. Sir Ian called athletes in the public eye who stay in the closet shrinking violets. The world is changing, he said, and sport, I'm afraid, is very slow to catch up. The 70-year-old co-founder of the UK's LGBT advocacy group Stonewall knows whereof he speaks regarding politics, and he's not shy about thinking globally either. When he sat down for a chat with This Way Out correspondent Santina Giordano, McKellen took on queer oppression in general and California's Proposition 8 in particular.
Well, not all voters voted for it, did they? We must take comfort from that. And it was just ironic and surprising on that day when it looked as if the United States was in for some good change at last, that proposition should have been passed. But when I emailed my friends like Armistead Maupin in San Francisco and Bill Condon here, who directed Gods and Monsters in Los Angeles, they both said, "Oh, don't worry, these things take time, don't they?" And they do take time. And there's some good to come out of that, in that the time that it takes to change these rules and laws does mean that people are discussing the issue. And we're also discovering who the enemy are. And I do think we do have an enemy. And they were the people who were behind supporting Proposition 8. And I'm afraid they were connected with the church. And churches are feeling under attack because of the advance of gay rights. We have it in the United Kingdom. I'm regularly called the son of the devil by Catholic bishops and people who think I should be put in prison like Oscar Wilde, because they got the impression that gays are trying to overthrow the church. Now, they used to think that about communism. Well, communism is gone now, so they've looked around for another enemy and blame us for the fact that fewer people are going to church and fewer people believe in their gods. And so maybe their homophobia is coming from something deep-seated in themselves, which has nothing to do with us at all. But, you know, I think it means that everyone's got to go on fighting. And in what way you fight, well, it depends who you are and what you can do. You can talk to your local elected officials, you can talk to your neighbours, you can talk to your friends, you can talk to people in bars, you can write letters to the newspaper, or you can go on marches. I don't think it matters what you do, as long as you do whatever you can. And then, out of that, the community or the communities of gay people will grow stronger and you will need to be there, because when the law has been, when this Proposition 8 has been found illegal and has gone, there will still be people left wishing that it remained. In my lifetime, until I was in my late 20s, it was illegal for me to make love.
Yeah.
Illegal. But, you know, now in the UK I can serve in the armed forces if I want to. I can have a civil partnership if I want to. It's illegal to discriminate against me, and things have changed so much. Now, you're a bigger continent. You're a continent. England's easy. But marriage. What is marriage? Anyone would think, to hear the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews talk, that they'd invented marriage. But marriage is a civil partnership. And churches and mosques and synagogues are licensed to perform a marriage.
Right.
The marriage comes from the state.
From the state.
Now, you might choose to put a blessing on top of it, but people who go to registry office, they are married. People who have been married by Elvis in Las Vegas, they're married.
Yes.
And then on top of that, what about these marriages that don't intend to have children? Because we keep being told that gay marriages don't make sense because no children come out of them. Although, of course, they easily could come out of it. What about people who are too old to have children? Should they not be allowed to get married? What about a couple who are barren or mutually incapable of having a child? Are they not to be allowed to get married? Marriage is about much more than just having children. Don't just wait for it to happen. Just don't wait for the lawmakers to make it all right. Because people will still be left with their prejudices. I think those prejudices have to be tackled head on, and they have to be argued with, and they have to be convinced that they're wrong. Because on this issue, we are right. We are right.
Yes.
And if you're right, and you're not allowed to be right, then you must say something about it. It won't do to keep quiet and hope it happens.
That's right.
I'm Santina Giordano, and to find out more about Ian McKellen, log on to www.mckellen.com. That's McKellen.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine, does as well, right here on this station.
We're serving up a party MC and a father of two with some good old Southern cooking in this edition of The Audiophile.
To say I'm very crispy, like a creme brulee, hard with an edge like masa and cheese. There's no running away, cause I'm locking the keys.
The latest album by So Say the Elemental Wizard is called Master of Fine Arts. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. So Say bills himself as the Jewish gay white MC. There's a lot of variety in his music, and he has a lot to say.
Master of Fine Arts is about me overcoming all odds and showing that education is cool. We have a good time, but you know, it's not too didactic. It's just all about having fun. We got lots of special guests, live instruments, and then after the first half of the CD, we let it all hang out. Cause school is over and it's time to hit the parties. Well, I talk on the topic of constantly robbing the audience of positive analysis, leaving bitter with the taste of a dinner that's a race of the place in a state of paralysis. Emotions are to be played, but it's hard to be swayed these days. There's way too much dialogue, so I try to avoid the white noise, cause even I enjoy the grace of the quiet song. Rocking now's my responsibility, consider it a task that's hot but limiting. I get to control the crowd with the beat, make it loud with a plea that finally I'm running free. But what does that really mean? I wish that I could do whatever I want, knowing that I do it well, and also certain it would sell. But what does that really mean? I force myself into a specialty niche, and that is nobody's dream. I guess you want to be supreme.
You can learn more about So Say, the Elemental Wizard, and his album, Master of Fine Arts, at www.greathiphop.com.
Drink right down to the bottom of the bottle every night. Whiskey or wine will do you fine. Get your blue flame burning bright. Or you're laying in bed with a haunted head and all these rooms to fill. It's a sleepless trance when spirits dance all night and won't sit still. Don't keep the ghosts inside, get them out of your head. Keep the ghosts inside, get them out of your head.
It's unusual for an artist to release two EPs at the same time, but that is what Christopher Dolman has done, starting with one called Never Was, and he also found himself doing an EP of cover versions of songs by Britney Spears.
Well, it was an accident, really. I mean, we had a free day in the studio just before we started recording Never Was, and we decided to just kind of have some fun. So we did a recording of Gimme More and really dug it. Decided to record another one, and ended up with this really awesome collection of music that I released at the same time as Never Was.
We can get down like there's no one around, but keep on rocking, keep on rocking. Cameras are flashing while we're dirty dancing. They keep watching, keep watching. Feels like the crowd is saying, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme more.
That second EP is called Sad Britney. And you can get more information about both Christopher Dolman EPs at www.cjdmusic.com.
It's been 10 years since the first album by this next artist, then known as Yolanda and the Plastic Family. Now he goes by Roger Anthony Yolanda Mapes, and the album is called House of Joy.
Ask you things that I've never asked before. I need you to tell me things you know I need to hear. Don't have to whisper in my ear. Oh no, just communicate with me loud and clear. Yeah, well, I wanna know. I wanna understand.
In this album, Roger was definitely digging into his musical roots.
Well, musically, the CD was influenced by my growing up in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, the hit recording capital of the world, when I lived there in the 60s. So that reflects gospel, bluegrass, blues, a little bit of jazz, and of course southern rock. So you'll hear all of those influences on the record.
And I learned how to dream big. Don't you know that the South will rise again? And I learned how to be a good boy and take Jesus by the hand in Muscle Shoals, yeah. Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Muscle Shoals, Alabama. The hit recording capital of the world.
Find out more about the album House of Joy at www.rogeranthonymapes.com. And Mapes is spelled M-A-P-E-S.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can learn more about Audiophile or contact us by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson. I'm here now to ask for your support of this one-of-a-kind radio show. We know times are tough these days. We have one part-time paid staff person at This Way Out who does the production and administrative work to bring you our half-hour international radio show each week. The rest of us are unpaid volunteers. Everyone here does it for love, certainly not for financial gain. But you can't put a monetary value on this program, whether it's in dollars, euros, or yen. We think This Way Out offers a priceless, sometimes even life-saving voice heard around the world, celebrating the rich diversity of LGBT experience. Please log on to our website to see how you can help keep us going. Whatever you can offer will be put to good use and truly appreciated. And we're offering some terrific This Way Out programs on CD to express our thanks. Read all about it at www.thiswayout.org. That's www.thiswayout.org. Thank you.
But it ain't over till the fat girl sings. That's why someday I'll go back home. Just to sit by my daddy's grave and sing my sweetest song, yeah. Cause he taught me to dream big. Don't you know that the South will rise again? And he taught me to be a good boy.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Tanya Kane Perry, Santina Giordano, Sir Ian McKellen, and J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. So Say, Christopher Dahlman, and Roger Mapes performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is only made possible by our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, listen to our podcasts, read the text of this week's news wrap, or subscribe to CDs of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alert, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WUML Lowell, Massachusetts, CJSF Burnaby, British Columbia, KUMD Duluth, Minnesota, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Hey! Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
Just love girl.
Don't label me, table me.
Obviously, they just love girls. This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and welcome to my February show. This month, I'm visiting with two acts I like quite a bit, the duo Sugar Beach, and later in the show, singer-songwriter Phil Putnam. Sugar Beach is comprised of Marley Walchuk of Vancouver, Canada, and Tully Cullender of Sydney, Australia. They are partners on and off stage, and Tully moved to Vancouver in 2007, and they formed the group Sugar Beach. As for I Just Love Girls, Tully and Marley tell us about what inspired that song.
We wrote that song before we came up with the name Sugar Beach. We'd come to Canada and we weren't really sure where we fit in, and we were noticing that partly in the gay community people had their own little groups, and we just wanted to say to them, I guess, that we're all together and we all, you know, in terms of for the lesbians, we just all love girls and that's what we're about. We don't want to be in separate groups. You know, it shouldn't make any difference how I want to wear my hair. I love women and that's it. So that's kind of where the idea came from, and it just kind of appeared. The song just came, and it was really fun to write, and it was just really fun to do something upbeat, and yeah.
And it really started it all.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it was the reason that we decided to put out our first album and to create the group, because the song, I mean, different songwriters have different feelings about how they get their music. Mm. We have a very strong feeling that it comes from another place. So that would mean, you know, whatever you believe, that your spirit world or, you know, whatever is your choice of belief. But sometimes we feel like conduits for the music that comes through us. So for us, it came to us, it came very easily, very quickly, and we just knew that something had begun here. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was the work that we want to do inside the gay community, which is to just keep coming out and out and out and let people know that they're not alone and try and fight for more human rights. And, you know, so it's...
And keep everybody unified.
And keep everyone unified, yeah, that's absolutely true. Because there is a lot of separation within our community, and it, I guess when you come into it a little later, sometimes you're kind of like that, you know, that guest that everyone invited, and all of a sudden they walk in the room and go, oh, I've noticed that things can be a bit odd here. So what can we do to help that? You know, so what we do see it as a little bit of a mission to just keep heading on in and doing what we can.
And the song I Just Love Girls attracted a lot of attention very quickly. It was the lead track of the EP they released in 2007, and right away they began performing at many Pride events all over. In fact, that led to one of their most popular songs, one called Living Out Proud.
Living Out Proud was a song that we wrote for the Vancouver Pride Society. They needed a theme song for last year's Pride, and we were actually sitting having a drink one night, and they said, you know, we were thinking of running a contest to do a song, but now we've run out of time. And I was talking to the president at the time, John Boychuk, and I said, well, I'll write you a song. And he laughed. He thought, you know, like we've got 2 weeks or something. So he thought this was hysterical. So I said, well, we can do this. I mean, this is something that, you know, we can get our heads around it. So within a couple of weeks, I sent him a quick idea and told him that in 2 more weeks, he was actually going to have it on his desk. And I sent it over to him. And they absolutely went over the moon with excitement. So they've been using it now for 2 years on all of their ad campaigns. And, of course, we sang, you know, the death out of it for for the last couple of years in every Pride event that we had. And then we also had gifted it to the community. And in doing that, people were able to download it. I think they still can for free off the Vancouver Pride website, as well as ours. And as a result of that, ended up getting 11 cities around the world using it for their Pride celebrations. So it was wonderful. So it ended up, you know, going everywhere. So it's been amazing for us, and the song seems to be very powerful, and people seem to be quite taken by it.
Living up, living up, living up proud.
Around you there's a crowd living up proud.
The track is from their CD released last year called Not Deserted, and the song Not Deserted was the one they picked when I asked of what song on the album they were the most proud.
Oh, wow. Gee, that's really a hard question. You know, for me, I really love Not Deserted because of the meaning behind it and the fact that it is, well, it was totally connected with the suicide of Carl Joseph Hoover, the 11-year-old boy, who killed himself partially from anti-gay bullying. And then when I started to research more, I realized that we'd lost by, I believe, April, we'd already lost 3 or 4 middle school children in the States for the same reason to suicide, from anti-gay bullying. And I was just shocked. So this song for me, is like the 5 minutes, if I could have had 5 minutes to talk to them before they made this decision to do this. This is partially at least what I would have said to them. So I hope that it, at some point in time, it gets to kids in places where they feel they are very alone and, that, you know, that they're the only ones. Cause a lot of these kids are so young, sometimes they're not even sure how they identify yet, but the cruelty in schools can be, mind boggling, and they're just seeing no way out other than to take their lives. So I guess for me, the message of that one is particularly powerful.
Your throat is parched to dry, windows sand in your eyes. Everywhere you look is emptiness. Your feet are sinking deeper, pulling you down even weaker. What's the point? Keeps running through your head. It's better this way you're sitting. Your over is hurting. The heat is just too much for you to bear. What if tomorrow it all changed? What if it cools and it rained? What if an oasis was waiting?
vision, the effect of your decision on those who love you and those who hear about it. So much beauty waiting, magic you're creating. To this world you are a gift. Giving up, just let them win. Yell stop till they listen. You can handle anything. So I'm a person what you felt. Seek a little more help. Promise you'll give it just one more sleep.
One more sleep.
Your life is not a desert, and you are not deserted. Send a flare to let us know you're there. This hopelessness you feel is a mirage. Tomorrow, feelings pass, and you found the strength that lasts. What if you stood up and made all those vultures fly away? Your life is not a desert, and you are not deserted. Send a flare to let us know you're there.
Suitcase wheels on the hardwood floor. Every detail planned like a beautifully orchestrated score. Your perfume's moving down the hall like it's running after you. If I could just lift these lead feet, I might do that too. Something tells me you mean it this time. Don't you think goodbye would have been nice? If I known this would be our last night together, I'd have laid last chance to touch you. I'd have felt every need and made you stay. We fought too much and talked too little. We slept on the couch too many nights. I guess I kinda liked it, 'cause the making up seem to make us right. When you said you'd had enough, I thought you meant we need to work on this. There's so much I need to tell you, like how I live, for the taste of your kiss. You're not answering your phone like you did last time. And I'm afraid if you did, I wouldn't stop crying. If I'd known this would be our last night together, I'd have laid awake to memorize your face. If I'd known this would be my last chance to touch you, I'd have felt every need and made you stay.
After you heard the song Not Deserted, I wanted to be sure you knew that Sugar Beach was also very good at slower songs. That one was called If I Had Known. Tell me about how you picked your name.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, we went on the internet. Thank God we have the internet now, because otherwise we probably would have had a name or two that everyone else had. But we punched in. We liked the sugar. We liked that bit. We tried Sugar Beats, Sugar Bitch, Sugar, I mean, we went through the whole thing, Sugar Butch. I mean, there was like a million sort of, you know, we wanted a bit of a gay connotation as well, but it turned out that everything was taken. And then, I said, why don't we go on and look at some art, because I'm also a painter, and often artists will name their art interesting things, and you can get some good names. And we went on this site, and we found this beautiful painting called Sugar Beach, which we didn't realize at that very second. It actually was a place in Hawaii. And then when we did a little more research, we thought the more we sat with it, the more we just loved it. And the fact that Natalie is from Australia, and of course they're known for their beaches, and we're very beach oriented, even though we don't hang out in the sun. We love the beach life. And we also think that, you know, beaches are kind of sexy, and the name Sugar is sexy, and Sugar also has some sort of sexual undertones as well. So we just put it together and thought, yeah, this could work for a band name.
I guess Sugar Diabetes was already taken.
Yes, yeah, that's right. See what I mean? And thank goodness we checked that out.
The last song I want to cover is Mama, I Love Her. Can you tell me about that song?
Mama, I Love Her. We have two friends who came from a country that we won't mention just at this moment. There's lots of turmoil over there. And their religious and cultural background absolutely forbid them to be gay and be open. It actually wasn't safe. So they moved over to North America and lived quite happily, decided about how long ago?
So it was together for 7 years, and then they decided to come out to their mothers.
And that was disaster, just absolute disaster. The mothers threatened them. They threatened to bring the brothers over. They threatened death. They threatened everything they could to try and get them to split up. And they literally moved, these two mothers moved in with our friends for 2 months, or sorry, for 6 months. And it didn't work. And the mothers eventually left, and the friends are still together. And we wrote the song as totally inspired by their story and how difficult it was for them. And finally, they just had to go, look, this is the way it's going to be, and you've just got to accept it. I know it goes against everything that we've been raised with, but the world is changing, and you've just got to you just gotta love me anyway, you know. So yeah, and we've only had a couple of months of performing that because the album obviously is very new. But every time we do it, we get people come up to us and say, "Oh, that's so much like my story," or "I know a friend who went through that." Or so again, another powerful song for us. We're very, very happy to have it or to have written it.
Mama, I can't keep living with words unspoken. No matter what you believe, I can't be fixed, 'cause I'm not broken. If I had a choice, I wouldn't choose it. You have a choice, accept me or lose. I'm so happy I ever met someone. I move away with the phone so you won't know she's home with me. You heard me right, she's what I need in my life. I think you better sit, I'm gonna just say religion and traditions keep us apart.
Don't upset your father,
so he stays in the dark. Should I just hide so your pride can stay intact? I'm sorry you're in pain, so ashamed, and you want your little girl back. This isn't something I've become. I've known it all
بذارم از پیشم بره.
Mama, you know me.
حالا که میدونی
you can disown me.
میخوای نفرینم کنی.
Oh, you can understand and love me as I am.
Again, that was Mama, I Love Her from the album Not Deserted. And you can find out more about Sugar Beach at www.sugarbeachmusic.com. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And I've got another interview coming up right now with an artist I much respect, Phil Putnam. Phil released his first recording in 2001, and there have been five since then. And this time period covered the time he was coming out, so there's been a lot of growth on and off the CDs. I started with his latest album. Tell me about the album, Casualties.
Well, Casualties is my latest record, and it was recorded mostly in 2007, 2008. And where it came from was me realizing that when I looked at myself and thought of myself as a person, I didn't see really who I was today. I saw the fat, girly, dorky, you know, social reject of junior high. And I thought, well, that's just stupid, it's garbage thinking, because who I am now is quite different than who I was then. And so I started thinking through the ways in which I could possibly close that gap, where I could, you know, really sort of update the way that I viewed myself and make it fit with who I am now as opposed to who I was then. So the songs from Casualties all came sort of what I like to refer to as kind of that ghost hunt, you know, finding out the ways in which I was still stuck on my past and working through those issues and coming through to viewing myself in the truth of who I am now. And that's really where all the songs on Casualties came from.
You had a lot of success this year with the song More Than This. Could you talk about that song?
Yeah, sure. I love the journey of this song because it's such a good example of how the song leads the way, not the artist. More Than This was actually written for my album Best of Intentions, and it was written at the very beginning of that process. So that was written back in 2004. And it got about halfway through the recording process, and I decided to cut it because it just wasn't coming together. And I put it on the shelf and didn't really think much about it, you know, from that point on. And so fast forward to 2008, when my producer and I are just getting started on song selection for Casualties. And he says, you know, I think we need another fast song. We've got a lot of good singles, but I think we need another fast song to really lead off the album. And I said, well, you know, I've got More Than This sitting back on a shelf, and I really don't think it's going to work, and I'm not even sure we should do it, but let's demo it and see how it goes. And then, you know, what do you know, it totally, you know, takes over the album and becomes the first single, and it's so fun for me as a writer to see how sometimes my songs think, you know, you are such an idiot, I'll have to show you what you need to do. And that's how More Than This ended up on Casualties.
Odd month, odd year, odd day for a beginning, new world, same fear. How's he gonna fit in here? Brown hair, green eyes, but this one, he's special. He'll take his time and do his best to fit in here. And I can't help but wonder, was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more? This old world and this old life provides. So much alone, so clear, he's seen that there's more to own and what it takes to fit in here. So keep close, stand by, watch those around him, they'll change his mind about the way to fit in here. And I can feel and wonder, was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more than this? Was he made for something more than this old world and this old life provides? And he wonders how his life could look to the angels who guard him at night. Are they working for a worthy cause, or is he just a waste of their pride? Sit still, 'cause this could get messy. 'Cause what would you kill to find a way to fit, find a way to fit, find a way to fit in here?
Tell me about the song and the video for I'm No Prize.
Well, that was a fun one, that's for sure. And I almost didn't write it, which now I'm so glad that I did, because it's really become, I think, my signature song of the year and really brought a lot of the success that I've had this year, for which I'm very grateful. What had happened was, in general, I'm a pretty confident person when it comes to dating, but when I was writing Casualties, I hit this 6-week period out of nowhere where I was just the biggest sopping, spineless mess when it came to dating and thinking that other people would find me attractive, and I'm never going to find a boyfriend, and I'll never get another date, and all this stuff, this rampant insecurity that came up. And I was intrigued by it, and so I thought, well, you know, why not turn them into a song? But I knew that I wanted to start exploring a new area in my music that was a little more fun and flirtatious, not necessarily sexual, but just the way that I would do sexy, which is dorky and white, you know. So I started playing around with this lyric and thought, I want to make this song fraught with meaning like all my others, but I wanted it to also have a tongue-in-cheek feel and really start to use comedy as a way to communicate a message. So I started working on I'm No Prize and really fell in love with it. And it's a little known secret, you're the first to ever hear this, but there is actually a lost verse of I'm No Prize, the fourth verse that I wrote and then I cut. So maybe someday that'll surface. But the writing process was really fun, and then the recording process was just as great. I mean, I've never made a song exactly like this before, so it was a great stretch technically and just a whole lot of fun to make artistically. And then the video came along, and I knew that I needed to make a second video after the success of More Than This. And I knew I wanted to go with I'm No Prize, and so I wanted something colorful and fun and very up. And I kind of wanted it to look like a pastry counter, you know, very bright pastel colors and just very tongue-in-cheek and sarcastic and a little bit sexy and flirty, like the song is. And so I put together this concept with my director, my video director out, who works out in Sacramento, California. And we just had a really fun time making it. And I got a bunch of my good friends to come out and roll around in bed with me in their underwear. And it was a good 2 days on the set, not going to lie.
Besides the humor of that video, I thought it interesting that all the guys seemed to be a bit older than you. Was there a statement or a message there?
Well, you know, there was. absolutely. I wanted as much of a diversity as I could find and could, you know, schedule of race and build and age and look. And that's part of the message of the video and of the song, is that there's sort of that every piece, every expression of who we are has beauty and has value. It's a prize in itself. And so there are actually a few men that are younger than me as well, but it's also because most of those guys are true friends of mine that I've known for years, and most of my friends are older. So that's sort of where the age range came from. But I wanted to get as much of a span as I could.
If I'd known you were going to make that kind of video, I would have flown in and begged to be in it.
Well, that is sweet. Next time I do a booty video, it's all you.
Well, not necessarily that, but...
I was just going to say, the video was a stressful shoot, just logistically, but when the camera was on, it was so much fun. And most of the stuff was actually shot separately. I wasn't actually in the scenes with the guys, which was, you know, my loss. It was definitely a good experience, and you know, my only concern was hitting the right tone. Because I thought, if people think that I expect them to take me seriously as a sex symbol, this is just going to be a nightmare. Because that's not me. I mean, me being sexy is me being myself. So I was really concerned about hitting the right tone. And I watched the dailies after the second day and realized that I was fine. You know, no matter what the editing was like, I knew that we had gotten the footage that we needed. And so that was really what made me start to realize that this video could really make an impact and could really be something very fun to watch and be a part of.
Well, the video shows Phil in bed with many, many guys, and that should make you plenty curious. You can see the video on my site, but here's the song, I'm No Prize.
Believe in what you see. I wouldn't trust how you feel. 'Cause right now you're thinking that I'm quite a fine, handsome and witty and real. Well, I can't disagree, my dear, but give us a few more dates and I guarantee that the reasons that you give for wanting me now are the reasons you're gonna flee. I'm no prize, I'm exactly the way you see me now. A carnival toy with a smile. Like the foamy rubber things that grow in water overnight. It's fun to watch me run. A high, it's hello and goodbye, and what goes up has to come down. I'm no prize, what you see is exactly what you get. Chatty and bratty and sharp, and I swear to you on Elton John's pink feather chaps, fantastic on the time. I'm just trying to save myself another break of the line. I'm no prize. All my baggage is mashing and packed, but mostly I'm just me. Like Christmas morning after all the novelty is gone. Tinsel and
Can you talk about the reception your videos have gotten on Logo?
Yes, man, it's been amazing. I did the math recently, and I have been on the top 10 chart on Logo this year for 46 weeks of this year. I just, my mind is blown, especially when I think about the fact that I wasn't even going to make videos. I've only put out two so far in my entire career. The first one was for More Than This, and the second one was for I'm No Prize. And I decided to throw together, they scraped together a tiny little budget to do the More Than This video. And it turned out that it was just fantastically received, and it set the record for the longest running video, longest consecutively running video in Logo's history. It was on the chart for 20 consecutive weeks. 19 of those weeks it was in the top 5. It only dipped below 5 once in the entire time it was on. And then I'm No Prize has already broken that same record. It's gone on, I've lost count at this point, but it's still on the air. It's been number one twice, and it's just been so humbling and gratifying to see the way that fans have stepped up and supported the videos and really found the message in them as well as the fun. I'm just so touched by all that.
As an artist, can you correlate the videos to album sales?
Not really directly. I think that it definitely helps, especially with iTunes sales. But I think the way that it relates is that there are so many more people across the country and even around the world that are aware of my music now because of the videos and the exposure that they've had on Logo. So that does relate to album sales in the way that the more people know about it, the more people that there are to choose to buy it.
In 2004, you released an album called All the Courage Required, and from it, I want to ask you about the song Courage.
Well, Courage is a really important song in my career and also in my life, because the whole album of All the Courage Required was me looking at various subtleties of what I felt it meant to live a truly courageous life. For me, courage is a matter of emotional honesty. That's what real courage is, and that's the kind of courage that I think empowers a very influential life, somebody who's going to really impact the world around them and make a positive difference in the lives of those around them. So the song Courage has continued to be extremely important to me, and it's also become something that's become special to other people, especially in the gay community, you know, dealing with marriage equality right now and so many equal rights issues in America that we have to deal with that require genuine, significant courage. And so I'm really glad that the song has been able to impact others in the ways that it impacts me.
Stand up straight if I'm gonna stay alive. It looks like I'm underprepared to open my skin and live in my life. Cause I never knew how much energy this would consume. The tax and the toll have me asking a question or two. All the courage required to swallow this sobering wine. Do I have all the courage required to stand and be blind in the light, blind in the light?
required to swallow the sobering wine? Do I have all the courage required to stand and be blind?
I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And I want to especially thank Marley and Tully of Sugar Beach and Phil Putnam for the wonderful interviews. You can hear a little more of my interview with Phil at my website, where there's a second part of this month's show. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. To find out more about Phil Putnam and his music, please visit www.philputnam.com. Closing the show, I asked Phil to tell me about the song Here to Stay.
Here to Stay was significant in a number of ways, not just because of the content, which if you've heard the song, it's obvious that, you know, the message that it has to our gay audience. And so I wanted to write something that was a little more like Ben Folds, a little more of the kind of rhythmic piano rock. And eventually what came to be the story was the story of a father and his son contending over this son's sexuality. And whenever I write a story that seems standard, kid comes out, gets disowned by his family, I always want to put a different twist on it. I don't want to just tell the same old story. But it made me sit back and think, okay, does this story need to be told? And I thought through all the friends that I've got who are going through all kinds of difficulties with their families, all the people I know about who are still being discriminated against by the ones they love most because they're gay. And I thought, this is absolutely a story that has to be told right now because nobody's telling it. You know, it's something that, you know, we've got Will and Grace on for 8 years and people think across the country that being gay is just, it's cool and it's accepted and that people don't have a problem with it anymore, but that is completely not the case. And so I thought, if there's ever a time that those who are being discriminated against need a voice, it's now, when people think that it's not an issue anymore. I also wanted to make sure that I wasn't writing a story where the kid who comes out is just this weakling that's cowering in the corner. And I think that when you have this kind of difficulties in your family, also both sides have consequences rather than just the dad gets mad and the kid gets kicked out. And so I wanted to make sure that it was presenting both sides of the experience, but presenting a strong gay man or a gay woman, somebody who wasn't just cowering and afraid, but was willing to stand up for themselves. And that's where the title was born from. We're here to stay.
Daddy told you something about the way the world runs. Then he laid the law on who you are and who you're supposed to love. Detailed expectations for the futures of his own. 'Cause no pansy little homo boy is welcome in his home. And you don't have a thing to say, but nothing's gonna change that way. So let him know you're here to stay, here to stay. Waxed
rhapsodic about the days when life was good. When a faggot's life stayed weeping in the closet like it should. His arrogance is growing and your dignity is small. And the further that he pushes you, the further that you fall. And you don't have a thing to say.
Been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 9 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Brian Levinka, Jennifer Renee, and Jack Valensky, with contributing editors Joan Devlin in Iowa and David Elliott in Washington, D.C. The music heard on this program is provided by J.D. Doyle, who also contributes to the audio file segment of This Way Out and who produces Queer Music Heritage, which is an hour-long feature of Queer Voices the fourth Monday of every month. For more information, visit JD's website at queermusicheritage.com. And listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
The hearts and minds of the world go out to those impacted by the devastation in Haiti. KPFT, your community radio station, encourages you to do what you can to support efforts to help others in the wake of this tragedy. Around the world, people like you are lending assistance. For example, the multi-ethnic community center located at 9819 Bissonnette between Highway 59 and the Beltway in southwest Houston is collecting items for immediate needs in Haiti, including non-perishable food, bottled water, flashlights, batteries, sleeping bags, tents, generators, and especially right now, money. Go.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.